industry forces. So we sit there and we talk about competitors. These are within my particular industry. So key competitors. Are those key competitors that I'm dealing with in my particular industry, are they becoming more numerous, or are they getting less numerous? Are they growing or fading? Are there dominant competitors that are coming out of there? Is there a competitive advantage that they may have based upon some of those physical resources and things that we talked about earlier? And are their cost structures similar to yours or different than yours? We also have what we'll call new entrants into a value chain. And so how many people here, I'm looking around here specifically, men, you have a lot of people here with watches. I no longer tell time with my watch anymore. I tell time with my cell phone. Quite frankly, that was a new entrant in a scenario that I probably wouldn't have looked at if I was a watch manufacturer. I wouldn't have thought that that's where my competition was going to begin to eliminate, the need for my particular product. So sometimes we have what we call value chain expansions. And if you think about mobile devices, they're expanding into everything. Right, so they're really no longer, we shouldn't really call them mobile phones, we should call them something else, because they have such a big part of our lives these days. Do these barriers exist that are keeping new entrants from coming in? One of the things I often lament about is barbers. Now, I don't have anything bad to say about barbers, but quite frankly, I don't really think that we need to necessarily regulate barbers. But you can't become a barber unless you go to it's over 1,400 hours of class to become a barber. Now, that seems a bit excessive to me. Now, I can tell you essentially why that is, because quite literally it was just too easy to become a barber. When I was in the Coast Guard, for example, if you didn't get out of it, you became the ship's barber. Because, how bad could you screw up somebody's hair? It always grows back, right? It's just, there's not a whole lot. I can't imagine 1,400 hours. But what happened was it was so easy to get into that they said barbers got together and created a barrier and said, listen, we're gonna say we don't want every person to sit out there and be able to hang out a red, white, and blue twirly thing and say, hey, guess what? I'm a barber now. Right? We'd like to create this barrier. So sometimes we actually create these barriers to these groups to keep people out. And so they may be coming, that may be limiting people, new entrants into that business, or they may be leaving and driving people out. All right? And these new entrants may have a completely different value proposition than your value proposition, because they've looked at it. So if I go back to some of the things we talked about before, I really didn't talk about the Cirque du Soleil model. But in the Cirque du Soleil, they did the same type of thing with this business model canvas. Quite literally, they laid out the circus. Where was the pain points? Animals. It was painful to take animals from city to city, and not to mention that you had groups like PETA demonstrating you every time you went there. People would argue, what do you need these elephants sitting there in the middle of a parking lot in, Alaska, freezing because they're not in that particular thing, or, running around in a parking lot, or dragging them through town. They thought it was kind of a cruel and inhumane way. So they said, what if we got rid of the pain point, which was animals? What would we replace them with? And so literally Cirque du Soleil was born by laying out the traditional circus business model and said, where were we going to go make those changes? They said, hey, pain, let's remove the idea that we have to deal with animals. And what would we replace that with? Well, we'll double down on the artistic part of it. We'll create a more theatrical type of a scenario. And by the way, when we did that, we also changed the value or the customer segment in that scenario. We no longer were going after families with children. We are now going to go after more older, more mature audiences, and as a result of that, I don't need to sell those tickets for $25 anymore. I can sell them for $100. So you see how they can be used. But again, that's a different value proposition as they sit there and they look. So is a new entrant coming in and saying, I'm going to go take away your circus business because I have looked at a different business model and I have a different value proposition that I'm going to apply to that. And hence the reason for staples like Ringling Brothers retiring and no longer doing that, because the value proposition underlining them kind of changed with the Cirque du Soleil model. All right, so as we continue along the industry forces here, substitute products and services. Are there replacement products? We've kind of delved into this a little bit as we've kind of discussed this point. Are there replacement products or services that I could actually buy, or am I locked in right now? your costs versus their costs and ease of switching this again. These are, again, we're talking industry forces as a way to look at that.